Thank you for listening today to our podcast here at Word of Life. We're delighted that you tuned in, and I pray that while you hear us talk, you hear the Holy Spirit speak. I know God's got a big plan for you. We're excited to be a part of that plan. Hopefully, we will see you sometime soon, maybe even this weekend. Until then, we pray you have a wonderful, wonderful week.
Thank you so much. Thank you. Thank you. Y'all can be seated. Dear Lord, the world's, what'd you call me? The world's best? Oh my goodness. That's an overpromise, isn't it? How are y'all doing? I'm so excited to be with you. Now, this is my fourth or fifth time here, and maybe you may not realize this, but every single time I have been to this church, Pastor Joel was gone. So I never met him. Like, I didn't even know what he looked like. And I've been here several times. And one time my daughter said to me, because she listens to his podcast, she said, Mama, is Joel Sims black? And I said, well, what makes you say that? And she said, I don't know. I just picture him to be black. Is he black? And I said, honestly, I don't know. I don't know what he looks like because I've never met him. So finally I found out he's not black. Did y'all know that? But I'm just so excited to be here. This is one of my favorite churches in the whole world. First of all, you are the sweetest people in the world. Southern hospitality is a real thing. And I just love you and I love your pastors. You're in just the best environment to learn from someone like him and Pepe, aren't you? You're blessed. You really are. And I steal his messages all the time, so don't tell him. But I do want to, well, first of all, let me ask, how many of you have never heard me before? Okay, I've had to explain myself in every service, but I was speaking at a conference one time in Florida, and this lady came up to me, and she said, oh my gosh, you sound exactly like my daughter. I said, really, is she here tonight? She said, no, she's four. I know, I sound like a kid, but it's not how you sound that intimidates the devil. It's what's coming out of your mouth, right? Thank you, Jesus. So I want to talk to you today about your dreams and about your goals. That's what Pastor Joel asked me to talk about. I usually tell people, me not talking about your dreams, that's like Taylor Swift not singing about an ex-boyfriend, okay? It's not going to happen, right? So this is my passion, is to teach you how to make this year the most phenomenal year you've ever had, because you are going to achieve your goals. You're going to succeed on purpose, okay? Yeah. Y'all are rowdier than the second service. I love this. So have you ever heard that New Year's goals, those are things that go in one year and out the other? In fact, did you know that 30% of those who set New Year's goals quit the first week? 30% have already done for the year. They quit. 80% quit by February. Well, I used to be in that 80% category. For 11 years of my life, after I graduated from college, for 11 years, I would set goals like this. Read more, get closer to God, lose weight, get out of debt, save money, and get organized. Do those sound familiar? I didn't know I was setting myself up to fail because vague goals produce vague results, right? So for 11 years, my life never changed. I didn't achieve my goals. I didn't get out of debt. I lived paycheck to paycheck. I had nothing in a savings account. I paid my car notes every month, paid my credit cards every month. Nothing about my life changed for 11 years. Finally, I discovered the key to changing the way I was living and to live my dreams. And it all has to do with what you do before breakfast. You ready? Okay, let me tell you this story real quick. Years ago, John Maxwell was speaking at a conference, and he said, you know, at the end of the conference, he agreed to do a Q&A with everybody at the end. Well, this young kid who had just graduated from college, he got an MBA, he came to the conference, and he is just admiring everything about the conference. So I want you to imagine with me, 2,000 people in attendance who paid $2,000 each. So I'm gonna grab my pocket calculator and do some math. 2,000 times 2,000, that's $4 million in one weekend, okay? So this kid says to John Maxwell, he goes, I wanna do what you do. And Maxwell said, what do you think I do? He said, you speak at all these events, you write best-selling books, you impact lives. He said, I wanna do what you do. And Maxwell said to this kid, he said, young man, it's not a matter of doing what I do. The question is, do you want to do what I did so you can do what I do? Now, here's my point in the message today. You can't have a million-dollar dream with minimum wage habits. You can't have a million-dollar dream with minimum wage habits. In fact, Michael Jordan, you know, at the peak of his career, Tony Robbins interviewed him. And he said, Michael, what is it about you that sets you apart from other basketball players? He said, is it just God-given talent? Is it just natural ability? You know what Michael Jordan said? It's my habits. He said, it's my routine. Then he said, I'm not competing with other people. He said, I'm competing with myself. And when you look at the life of Michael Jordan, when people were out on the offseason, they're at the beach, Michael Jordan was on the courts practicing, wasn't he? You can't have a million-dollar dream with minimum wage habits. So have any of you ever heard of the rule of five? I had never heard of that till about 4 or 5 years ago. The rule of five says this: for you to imagine that there's a big tree in your backyard and you go pick up an axe, which I just happen to have one here. So let's imagine you pick up an axe and you go in your backyard and you swing at that tree five times, put the axe down. The next day, you pick up the axe and you swing at the tree five times. Put the axe down. The next day, swing at the tree five times. How many of you know, if you pick up an axe and you swing at a tree five times, what eventually will happen to the tree? It's gonna fall, right? Notice I didn't say 50 times, 500 times. I just said five times every single day you pick up an axe and swing at the tree. If it's a big tree, it may take years to fall. If it's a small tree, it may take a couple weeks, maybe even a month to fall. The point is, it's gonna fall, right? Well, John Maxwell said this. He said, find your tree. What is that impossible dream that if you were to do five things every single day, mountains of impossible dreams would begin to fall? And you know, that's exactly what happened in my life. You know, I told you how for 11 years, I was just average. Nothing was changing. Well, all of a sudden in 2002, I'd been out of college for 11 years. I'd been married for 11 years. My life just fell apart. My husband and I separated. We were this close to a divorce, and I was miserable. After 11 years of being at a job, I saved zero money. I spent everything we earned. He and I both did. Like I said before, I paid my credit cards every month, paid my car note every month, had nothing in my savings account. Everything about my life was average. All of a sudden, one day in 2002, I didn't have a success coach come to the house and lay out a growth track for me. I just came up with a little plan. I just made it up myself, and I said, I'm gonna make myself do five things every day for 21 days. Now, I'd been told if you do something consistently for 21 days, you can break an old habit and start a new one, right? So I grabbed a calendar and a journal, and I started with day one. Well, at the end of 21 days, I thought, I'm gonna go for a whole month. Well, then at the end of the month, I said, I'm gonna go for 2 months. Then I went for 3 months. Here's the thing. To this day, I still wake up and do the five things. I woke up in Jackson, Mississippi this morning and I did the five things. But here's what happened. In that first 21-day period when I said I'm gonna make myself do these things, I heard John Maxwell make this statement. He said, if I could come to your house and watch you for 24 hours, I could tell whether or not you're gonna be a success or a failure. I thought, dear God, how? He said, you pick the day. But let me just watch you from the moment you wake up till you go to bed that night. He said, just by observing you in one full day, I can tell in what direction your life is gonna go. Then he said this, the reason I say that is because the secret of your future is hidden in your daily routine. The secret of your future is hidden in your daily routine. I had no idea just doing those five simple things was gonna drastically change my life. So that was in 2002 when I started the five things. Let's fast forward 12 years later. It's 2014. I'm moving into my brand new home. It was on this beautiful golf course. My debts were paid off. My car was paid off. I had some money in the bank. I'd started investing money. I'd written 6 books. I'm opening my own offices. My marriage has been restored. We just celebrated 27 years of marriage. Thank you, Jesus. And as I'm moving in my house, like I'm carrying boxes, we had hired this cleaning company to come in and just help us get it all cleaned up before we moved in. This precious girl stops me and she goes, "Ma'am, can I ask you something?" I said, "Sure, what is it?" She looked around the house and she said, "How do you get a life like this?" And without skipping a beat, I said, "Your routine." I said, "If you'll change your morning routine, you will change your whole life." Are you ready? I'm gonna share with you the five things real quick. Okay, you ready? Number one is pray or meditate. Pray or meditate. Now you might be like, "Of course, I thought you'd say that." But here's the thing. If you choose only one of the five things, this is the one you wanna start with. This is the one you wanna stick with. So what I began to discover is that the most successful people in the world spend time meditating. I'm talking about Cameron Diaz, Tom Hanks, Jennifer Aniston, Lady Gaga, Paul McCartney. Oprah Winfrey says she meditates twice a day for 20 minutes. Now keep in mind, many of these people, not all of them, they communicate with the universe. I communicate with the creator of the universe, right? So I thought, if they can do this, surely I can spend 5 minutes every morning just talking with the Lord. So my dad told me this. He said, when you go into your prayer time with the Lord, always take two things. He said, you always take a journal and you take a pen. It's just an average pen. I'm from Texas. So I brought this so you wouldn't forget, okay? So take a journal and take a pen. And he said, practice hearing the voice of God. Well, I thought, if I hear the voice of God, he's not going to talk to me. Sure, he'll talk to my dad. He's a preacher. But I thought, if I hear the Lord, he's probably going to say something like, "I will smite thee with my nostrils," you know, or something. But then I found out that's Jim Carrey from Bruce Almighty. But anyway, But my dad told me, he said, practice hearing the voice of God, and whatever you hear, even if you're not sure, is this God or is it just my own head? He said, write it down. Well, then I began to discover that successful people keep a journal. Jim Rohn said, a life worth living is a life worth recording. Well, I started journaling my time with the Lord, and I began to get direction for my life. We can do this, can't we? So pray or meditate. The second thing, the second habit that I said I was gonna make myself do was read. Now, the reason I'm telling you this was such a big deal is because when I graduated from college in 1991, we had this big graduation party. I graduated from Texas Tech University, and I had my cap and gown on. We had this big graduation party, and I made this big announcement to my family, and I think it was the dumbest thing I've ever said. I said, I will never study again. I thought, I've paid my dues. I got my degree. I will never pick up another book. Now, here's the sad thing. It wasn't only the dumbest thing I ever said. I literally backed up my dumb promise for 11 years of my life. For 11 years, I never read another book, except the Dallas Cowboy Cheerleader Manual, but that's not my point. But I wouldn't read. I would literally wake up at the last minute to go to work. I would jump in my car, listen to music all the way to the office, work all day, jump in the car, listen to music, dance all the way home, come home, turn on the TV, and watch it for hours. I was more interested in watching other people live their dream than me go after mine. For 11 years, like I said, paycheck to paycheck, spend everything I earned, nothing in my savings account, zero. Pay my car note every month, pay my credit cards every month. Everything about my life was average. All of a sudden, I began to discover, when I said in 2002, something has to change, I'm gonna do five things. I said, I'm gonna make myself start reading. Because I began to learn that 88% of the wealthiest people in the world read every day, and only 2% of poor people do. So I set the alarm on my phone for 20 minutes, and I started with one page. And I did it again the next day, and I did it again the next day. And something surprising began to happen. The more I made myself read every day, the more I began to learn. The more I began to learn, the more I began to earn. I started coming up with ideas at the company I worked for, and people would go, "How did you know that?" And I'd say, "I don't know. I guess I read it somewhere." I began to get promoted in my company because of the knowledge I was gaining. Well, then I began to hear things like, the key to success is K-E-Y. Keep educating yourself. Keep educating yourself. And I heard one guy say, if you want to know where your life is headed over the next 5 years, it's determined by two things: the people you hang around and the books you read. So I started making myself start reading until I began to enjoy reading. You ready for the third habit? Okay, the third thing I said I was going to make myself do was listen to motivational faith-building messages. You know, the Bible says faith comes by hearing, right? So I thought, if I'm going to see my marriage restored, I've got to have more faith. How do I get more faith? Push play. Faith comes by hearing, right? If I'm going to get out of the debt I'm in, I've got to build my faith. If I'm going to build up a savings account, I've got to build my faith. So I was not disciplined at that time. So I went and got a big CD player. This is back in 2002. I went to my parents' house. I stole a bunch of their faith-building messages. I went home and I literally put a post-it on my bathroom mirror that said, push play, because that's how undisciplined I was. I walked in there the first morning, and here's the reason I put it on the bathroom mirror. I had to ask myself, when am I going to do this and be consistent? I thought, well, I could do it in the morning while I'm getting ready. I got to get ready for work anyway. It takes a long time to look like this. So I said, I might as well push play. So I walked in there the first morning, saw my little note. Oh, yeah, push play. So I pushed the button, and I started hearing the word and hearing the word and hearing the word. Faith comes by hearing. Faith comes by hearing. I began to hear things like, don't share big dreams with small minds. Don't share big dreams with small minds. Small minds have a way of sucking ambition right out of you. You got to get around people who are going to elevate you to a whole new level, right? So I began to learn that as I'm just adding more mascara, as I'm gluing on my false eyelashes. I'm learning these things. When you get close to me, you'll see. But So then I remember hearing this story about this guy who, he said one day, you know, he's learning about success, and he decided, I don't want to stay where I'm at. So he said one day he looked around at his closest friends, and he realized two things. They equally hated hard work, and they had no desire or intention to improve their lives. So he said he walked up to this very wealthy man, and he just said, how did you become so successful? I want to be like you. How did you do it? And the wealthy man said four words. He said, keep the right company. Keep the right company. So he said, I did. He said, I made a list. If somebody could drag me down, he would put their name there, and he would spend no more than 5 minutes in their presence. He said, if someone could improve my life, I spent as much time as possible with them. He said, after following the make it or break it list, within 3 years, he was a millionaire. And you know how I learned this? As I'm gluing on the lashes, I begin to hear these things and go, oh my gosh, I've got to get around people who are going to stretch me to come up higher. You ready for the fourth habit? The fourth habit was I was going to make myself start writing and reviewing my dreams and goals. Now, Proverbs tells us where there is no vision, the people perish, right? Pastor Joel's preaching on this, how you'll never leave where you are until you see where you'd rather be, right? You got to see where you're headed before you start taking steps towards it. So I began thinking about that. Like, I didn't even have a vision for my life. I was just content with getting up, going to work, getting up, going to work. Well, then I began to discover things like how important it is that you have a vision. In fact, I want you to just imagine this. Let's imagine, just like yesterday, it's pouring down rain today. Church is over. You go run out to your car. It's pouring down rain. You turn on the car and it turns on fine. You turn on the lights. You turn on the heater because it's cold today. You turn on the radio. Everything seems to be working. It's pouring down rain except for one thing. The windshield wiper, which I just happen to have one. Let's imagine the windshield wiper is broken. How many of you know you're not going anywhere? See, as long as your vision is impaired, you will stay where you are. As long as your vision is impaired, you're not going anywhere. And that's why my life wasn't changing for 11 years. I had no vision for my life. So I began to discover God's the one who said, where there is no vision, you're perishing. But then God kicked it up a notch, and he said in Habakkuk 2:2, you have to write the vision and make it plain on paper, right? Now, do you know this? The most successful people in the world do this? Jim Carrey does this, Katy Perry does this, Arnold Schwarzenegger does this, Michael Jackson did this, Drake does this, Beyonce does this, Ellen DeGeneres does this. I could go down the list of successful people who write their dreams and goals, but God's the one who came up with it. Write the vision, make it plain, right? So I began to think, if Jim Carrey can do this, I can do this. Now let me just tell you, this all starts with you giving yourself permission to dream, right? The number one question that will stop you from achieving your dreams is asking how. If you sit around all day going, how can I get my car paid off? How could I ever have my own business? How could I get promoted? How could I ever live in a house like that? You will talk yourself out of the will of God. God said, get a vision, and he said to write the vision, right? So that's what I began to do. Many of you may have heard this story about this professor at Virginia Tech who did research on successful people and goal setting, Dr. David Cole. He said he walked up to random people on the street and he just asked them one question. He said, what are your goals? What are your goals for life? He said 80% of the people he asked said, I don't know, I don't have any. 80% of people walking around have no goals for their life. What's the Bible say? Where there is no vision, people perish. 16% said, I have some goals, but I've never written them down. 3% said, I have goals. I've written them down at some point, but I don't know where they are. 1% said, I have goals. I've written them down, and I review them on a consistent basis. He said, do you know who the 1% were? Millionaires. Every one of them were millionaires. And the clues the millionaires gave us, number one, I have dreams. Number two, I take the time to write them down. I don't leave them in my head. And number three, I keep them in front of me. So as I begin to learn that every morning as I'm pushing play, I begin to just give myself permission to dream. So I remember one time I just dreamed that maybe one day I would write books. So I went to Barnes & Noble and I posed in front of the bookshelves as if my books were there. I hadn't even written a book when I did that. I put a picture of the Dallas Cowboys cheerleaders in my dream book. And my husband said, you still want to be a Dallas Cowboy cheerleader? I joke about it now, but I said, no, Rodney, I want to minister to them. And he said, well, sometimes they pick old ones. I don't find that as funny as you do, but I just said, I want to minister to them. I put financial goals in here, money goals. I put a fake picture. I showed the other services this. I put a fake picture of me and John Maxwell. This is totally fake. And I acted like we're buddies like this. And I said, I speak at events with John Maxwell. I put a picture of teenage girls who are pregnant before marriage. And I said, Lord, I don't know what you want me to do with this, but I see myself helping these young girls who are pregnant before marriage, eating disorders, rescued from human trafficking. Now, most of you don't know my story. Some of you do. But just in a nutshell, real quick, when I was 14 years old, I was raped by a guy that in a gym, like a 24-hour fitness kind of a gym, by a guy that I don't even know. He probably doesn't even know me if he ever saw me on TV or anything. And when I went through that experience, it completely changed me. I thought I was ugly. I thought I was worthless. I acted like I was worthless because of what I went through. I entered into a relationship with a guy that became abusive and I stayed with him for 2.5 years. This guy locked me in a car with him several times, banged my head against a steering wheel, drug me by my neck through the grass, threw me in the, and I would stay with him because of how I felt about myself. Then my senior year of college, my last semester, right before I graduated, I got pregnant before marriage. And I felt like the biggest disgrace. My dad's a well-known minister. I was so ashamed of myself. I was laying in my apartment in Lubbock, Texas, scribbling in my journal, I want to die. And I told my roommate, Teresa and Dana, I said, I can't bear to tell my family what I've done. I said, I'm going to be the biggest disgrace of the Savelle family. It's going to ruin his ministry. I said, I'm just going to run away. I'm just going to head west. And my roommate Teresa said, no, you're not. You don't even know which way's west. We're gonna get through this, which is true. But anyway, so I just said that day I started dreaming, I said, Lord, I wanna help these precious girls because I know how they feel. I know what it feels like to feel worthless. Well, there's a principle in the Word of God that you become what you behold. Whatever you keep before your eyes, it will eventually show up in your life. That's why you add pictures and images to your dreams. Well, everything I just told you has already happened. Like, this was the first time I walked in Barnes & Noble and saw my books on the shelf. Here we are. I've got this picture here. I'll show y'all. On the 50-yard line of the AT&T Stadium teaching the Dallas Cowboys cheerleaders. I like to shove that in my husband's face. See, it happened. I'm just kidding. Here I am speaking at events with John Maxwell, one of my mentors. And of course, with teenage girls, oh my goodness, we get our dream books and our kits in girls' homes and safe houses across America. I actually went in the strip clubs in Dallas, Texas, and got to minister to these dancers. Is that amazing? But here's the thing. I want you to know, because you might look at that and go, well, good for you, Terry. I'm happy to hear about your cute little dreams. What about me? And I completely understand. But what I want to tell you, because a lot of times people say, well, I don't even know where to start. I want to share this with you real quick, because I think this is the best way to help you get started. Years ago, a friend of ours had the opportunity to minister to Will Smith. He went to his house. He got to spend the afternoon with him, just ministering to him. And he said when he walked in Will Smith's house, there was this big glass wall with like 150 little index cards all over the glass wall. And he asked him, he said, what is all that? And Will Smith said, that's my next movie I'm working on. Because you know how he directs them and produces them and stuff? He said, those are all my different scenes. I just move them around until I get it the way I want it. He said, every good movie has ups and downs, good characters, bad characters, all that stuff. And the friend looking at this said, that looks so confusing. He said, how do you even know where to start? And Will Smith said, that's the easy part. He said, you always start with the final scene. You decide how you want it to end, and then you work towards it. Do you see what I'm saying? You decide how do you want this year to end, and you start working towards it. So I want you to imagine it's December 31st of this year. Just imagine it's New Year's Eve this year, and you've got your little party hat on, and you're at your New Year's Eve party. You turn to your friend and you say, this has been the most phenomenal year of my life. What needs to happen for you to say that? Whatever it is, that's what you need to write down in your dream book. It could be, I paid off that MasterCard $13,556.17. It could be, I finished another semester of college. I got my degree. I got my real estate license. I lost 25 pounds. My marriage was restored. My kids got born again. My daughter got a scholarship. What needs to happen for you to say, this has been the most amazing year of my life? I always write mine in the past tense too. I act like it already happened, and then I start putting pictures to match that goal. We can do this, can't we? Okay, ready for the last one and then I'm done. The fifth one is exercise. And I don't have time to go through all that because our time's almost over. But I just want to say this real quick. In the area of exercise was I used to work out because vacation was coming, work out because spring break was coming. Finally, when I said I'm going to make myself do these five things every day and I grabbed my little calendar and everything, I had to say this to myself. Stop looking at the 1 hour you don't have. Look at the 20 minutes you do have and get moving. Do you know that 20 minutes of exercise times 30 days in a month is 10 hours of exercise? You're gonna see changes in 10 hours, aren't you? I was sharing this at a conference in Mobile, Alabama, and this lady in the crowd goes, Terry, I've been doing this 20 minutes a day. She said, I've lost 116 pounds. 20 minutes a day. And here's the biggest thing I want to say real quick because I don't have a lot of time on this, was that what happened was when I turned 40, 9 years ago, this year I'm going to be 50, I, people would say things to me like, Terry, when you turn 40, you just wait, your metabolism is shot. Or they'd say, you just wait, you're going to have to work out twice as much as you did when you were 30. Well, the more I heard that, I began to agree with it. The more I agreed with it, the more my body got worse. And I started saying those things. Have y'all heard that scripture that says death and life are in the power of the tongue? And you know the other scripture that says we are snared by the words of our mouth? Well, see, a snare is a trap, isn't it? There's a crazy trap in here. Oh, it's weird. But see, every time you speak negative words about anything but about your body, you're trapping yourself into the very thing you don't want. So practice making this statement after every phrase. Practice saying this, and that's just the way I want it. So if you're saying things like, I don't know, I just have a horrible metabolism, and that's just the way I want it. Can you imagine? Or saying, no matter what I do, I can't lose weight, and that's just the way I want it. If I just look at cake, I'll gain 10 pounds, and that's just the way I want it. If it's not the way you want it, then don't speak it, right? Because we're trapping ourselves. So what I did was I made a list of positive declarations to start speaking out of my mouth, because Bible says to speak those things that are non-existent as if they are, right? So I started declaring, I am lean, I'm fit, firm, and muscular. I'm in the best shape of my life. I have a fast metabolism. I enjoy working out. I'm in the best shape of my life. I eat whatever I want to eat, and I maintain my perfect weight. That's a good one, isn't it? Then I started backing it up with God's word and saying, so shall my word be that goes forth out of my mouth. It shall not return unto me void, but it will accomplish that which I please. And do you know the weight started falling off? Here's why. If you want to know where your life is headed, listen to the words that are coming out of your mouth. Joel said it. If you'll change what you're saying, you'll change what you're seeing, right? So let me just close this out by saying, do you know all those five things that I said I started in 2002? I did them this morning in my hotel room. Do you know that I'm finished before breakfast? You know, Tony Robbins calls it the hour of power. If you were to just start with 30 minutes and start doing some of these things, 30 minutes a day, I'm telling you from experience and testimonies of thousands, you will not be where you are today next year at this time. Just 30 minutes a day. In fact, John Acuff, he said years ago, he made a decision to start getting up at 5 o'clock in the morning and be selfish with himself. And he said, not one time has my wife complained that I wasn't spending time with her at 5 o'clock in the morning. He said, not one time did my daughter get mad that I wouldn't go jump on a trampoline at 5 o'clock in the morning. He said, this is your time. It doesn't have to be 5 a.m. This is your time to work on you. He said, if your dream isn't worth 30 minutes of your time, you've either got the wrong dream or you're pretending to have one. We can do this, can't we? 30 minutes a day. So remember that you can't have a million-dollar dream with minimum wage habits. Are we gonna do this? Yes. Okay, and I wanna share something with you real quick. Is that okay if I mention something real fast? As we close this out, I wrote this down because we put this together for you. I brought this little kit called the 5 Things Successful People Do Before 8 a.m. And like I said, it doesn't have to be before 8 in the morning. But how many of you feel like the Lord is dealing with you specifically about discipline? Like getting more discipline in your life. Okay, then that's who this is for, because that's exactly what the Lord dealt with me about. Because like I said, I would clean the house because company was coming. I would lose weight because vacation was coming. I would save money because Christmas was coming. The Lord began to deal with me about discipline and about how to conquer procrastination, because I would start good habits and then I'd quit. I'd start good habits again and then I'd quit. So I put this together. It's got my book, The 5 Things Successful People Do. I did a podcast on this topic and it got over 2 million views because people want to know, what do successful people do in the morning? This is it. And it's that simple, isn't it? So in this kit, if you don't like to read like I didn't like to read, I have the audio book in here. I have the e-book, so you can put it on your iPad or the physical book. I put a habits calendar in here. This is not a typical calendar, it's a habits one. So every day you keep your commitment with yourself, you mark it off. And I learned from Jerry Seinfeld, which you'll hear his story in here, how he said this was the key to his success, and I'll explain it to you. There's also a dream journal in here for you to start practicing hearing the voice of God. And I'm gonna walk you through it, like take you by the hand and walk you through how to practice hearing the voice of God so you know his vision for your life, right? There's also a list of books in here for you to order, not mine, other people's, so that when you're done with this, you already have a plan. Let's keep this going. Now, what we did, this little kit sells for $97, but we put together a special offer for Joel's church. This kit is $60 if you wanna get it today. Now, that's only available on the break when we leave, $60, but I added something that I've never done before, and that's because I want you to have this. I've never done this at any other church, but I'm gonna give you the Personal Dreams and Goals Journal for free when you get this kit. Because with it being the first of the year, I want you to have this and I want you to start putting your dreams and goals in here. And I've got samples of how I do it. So this is $120 that we're doing for $60 today, just for today on the break. Does that sound good? But here's what I told the other services and I'm gonna tell you too. When you get your kit and you get home today, and you open it up and you get your calendar out and you start with day one, I want you to make me a promise. Do not post anything on Facebook or Instagram. Don't make an announcement to your family. Don't say, everybody look out, new year, new me. Discipline is my middle name. Y'all just watch out. Do you know that it's actually been proven that when you make a big announcement about what you're gonna do, it actually decreases your motivation because you get all this reward from people going, really, you're gonna do that? And then you don't wanna follow through. So what I want you to do is open your kit, get your calendar out, start with day one. Keep accountability between you and God. Get a few weeks under your belt, and here's what's gonna happen. People are gonna notice a change in you and they're gonna say, what are you doing? And let me just warn you too, when you start getting up every morning, you're reading on your lunch break, you're pushing play while you're driving to lunch with your coworkers, people are gonna call you bad names. They're gonna say you're obsessed, you're a workaholic, you're a little bit of a freak now, what's going on? I told the other services, that's okay, let them call you that, because you know what they'll eventually call you? Manager, boss, CEO, president, mayor, successful. I like that, don't you? So if that's for you, then we're gonna honor that on the break here. And the last thing, it's okay if I mention one more thing real quick. Let me just ask you, do any of you feel like you're in a transition? Some of you feel like you're in a transition. You feel like God's getting you ready to do a new thing? Okay, that's who I'm talking to right now. And I wanted to mention this because years ago, the Lord actually, well, let me just say, I put together a one-year coaching program called Vision 101. This is 1 year worth of teaching to keep you motivated, to help you in all areas of getting ready. But the reason I did this is because when I started these habits, these five habits, and I was starting to change, I was starting to grow, one day in prayer, I'm practicing hearing the Lord. And I heard the Lord say this. He said, when I know you're ready, get ready. I thought, what does that mean? And I thought, I don't even know if that's God or just me. But then he said it again. When I know you're ready, get ready. Well, I started getting ready. I started preparing myself for what I'm doing today. You know, Coach John Wooden, he said, when opportunity comes, it's too late to prepare. You have to prepare now. So when God brings you opportunities, you're ready, right? So in this coaching program, I talked to you about how I got ready. How to get crystal clear on your vision, your dream, your goals, how to start connecting with the right people who are gonna lift you up, how to discover your talents and gifts. Because have you ever heard that phrase that it's better to be world-class at a few things than mediocre at most things? You gotta decide what is that one thing God wants you to pour yourself into. So I'm gonna teach you how to do that. And I want you to just imagine logging into your bank account and you see $10,000 in your emergency savings that you don't even need. Can you imagine that? You don't even need it, but you've learned how to save a portion of your income every month. I'm gonna show you how to do that. So this is a one-year coaching program, and the reason I mention this is because enrollment actually closed. We only open it twice a year. Enrollment's closed for this program, but we decided to open it today as soon as church is over. It'll close when we leave. For those of you who want it, this is over $2,000 worth of resources and training. We're doing it for $370. And here's the thing. If you get it today, this $400 coaching kit, we're gonna give you this for free. So you get this right here, this $400 kit, absolutely free when you get enrolled today. And if you want to do a monthly plan, we will work that out, $37 a month. Just let us know. But like I said, that's only on the break, and we only brought 20 of these. So just so you know. And let me close out with this statement. Years ago, when I was learning the habits, and I'm driving to work, and I'm pushing play, and I'm trying to build myself and everything, I heard this minister make this statement, and he said it two times, and then the audio would end. This is what he said. He said, "Somebody in need is waiting on the other side of your obedience." And then he'd say it again. "Somebody in need is waiting on the other side of your obedience." And I would be driving to work going, could somebody seriously be waiting on me to get my act together? Like, surely not. And then I would think about it again on my way home. I'd hear it again. Well, today, when I get testimonies from people, you know, I've met people in London, England, who were former atheists, and they found me on YouTube, and they got born again because they saw a podcast. I've had teenage girls tell me they've stopped cutting themselves because they watch me on YouTube. And I think, somebody in need was waiting on me to learn this stuff? Who could be waiting on you that your obedience is going to impact their life? I want you to think about those phrases, because I believe as God sees you prepared, just like in the Bible, you remember when David was taking care of those few sheep and it looked like it was for nothing? But he started practicing shooting those coyotes. He was practicing shooting a lion. He shot a bear in private with nobody watching. But that was all preparation to kill a giant in public with everybody watching, right? So if you feel like God is speaking to you today, I believe you are gonna be ready. You're gonna prepare. And you know, people are rewarded in public for what they practice in private, right? Y'all receive that? Do you feel like the Lord's speaking to you? Well, I'm believing with you, this is going to be your most phenomenal year. Why don't we close this out in prayer? Does that sound good? I'm curious, have y'all already had lunch, or are you about to go to lunch? You're about to go? So you like a later lunch? Yeah. Okay. Let's stand up. Let's close this out in prayer. That's the best way to close it, isn't it? I told the other services, and I'll tell you, that I like when we all lift our hands, because this is the universal sign of surrender. Anybody ever been arrested? I'm just kidding. Oh, okay. Yes, yes. You didn't have to answer, but okay, yeah. She's honest, you know? But you know, that's the universal sign of surrender, isn't it? We're surrendering everything to the Lord. Let's surrender the past, all the failures, everything that happened in 2018. Don't even bring that up anymore. It's over, right? Let's give it a burial. Thank you, Jesus, right? Stop talking about it. I mean, seriously, stop talking about 2018. Stop replaying it. Stop rehearsing it. Stop reminding God about it. Stop asking God to forgive you for what you did in 2018. He forgave you the first time you asked. Let's get focused on where we're headed, okay? So let's lift our hands again and let me pray. Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord, I praise you and I thank you for every person who came here today and heard this message. Lord, I believe you're stirring things up on the inside of them. Things that they thought weren't you, things they thought were dead. Lord, I believe you're stirring up those dreams on the inside of them. And Father, I'm declaring that they're gonna surround themselves with people who continue to burn the flame and cause it to grow. Lord, I pray discipline in their lives like never before. That they stop getting excited and then give up, and then get excited and then give up. No discipline like never before. And Father, I've been declaring it all morning, and I'm gonna say it again. I pray Amos 9:13 over their dreams and goals this year. Things are gonna happen so fast, their heads will swim. In the name of Jesus, and we thank you for it. Amen. Thank you so much. God bless you.